Welcome to someone's random kitchen in my temporary home this week. Just kidding. This is my kitchen in my actual home this week. I am Brittany Bass, a full-time passenger seat princess and operations manager of Matt Becker Fishing. For those of you who don't know me yet, I am also Matt Becker's girlfriend. He is a professional bass fisherman with Major League Fishing on the Bass Pro Tour, and we are in our second season on this tour. So super, super excited about that. With this channel and podcast, I plan to bring some of the best wives, fiancés, and girlfriends, even some mothers, on to talk about their lives, their families, and their superstitions, because we got them too, so that you can hear the back end, all the behind the scenes goodness that goes into making a tournament season great. So this is episode 3 of Random Kitchens. So a few changes to this week's episode. Obviously, we are home for 2 days, actually. So it is also Valentine's Day today. So this week, I thought it would be good to introduce you all to this podcast, what it's all about, myself, and my plans for this year, and also tell you guys our love story, because it is Valentine's Day. So as I said, we are currently sitting in my actual kitchen this week because we are home for 2 days in between when we were in Texas at Sam Rayburn and when we go to South Carolina, Santee Cooper. So super, super excited to be home for a couple of days. Generally speaking, Matt and I don't get a lot of time at home from the start of tournament season. I think last year, we actually cumulatively spent 14 days at home or 14 nights at home for the first 5 months of the year. So when I tell people, like, he is my home, I really mean that. I mean that we are each other's home and we kind of make our home anywhere we are because the homes always change and obviously the kitchens do too. So, where we are in the world, wherever it is, I am home as long as I'm with him. So I really, truly believe that. And like I said on a previous podcast, I do love, and I love Valentine's Day, mainly because you get to share it kind of more publicly than normal. So with that being said, today I want to dive into the L-O-V-E of us and this podcast. So starting with the L is for our life and love story. So I kind of wanted to tell you guys about how Matt got into fishing and how in the world I got into fishing. So Matt started fishing before he can even remember. He always says, I can never remember not fishing. And his mom and dad definitely talk about and have pictures of him in diapers with a fishing pole. And his mom said this past Christmas, actually, he used to sing along to the commercials of all bass fishing TV because he watched it so much. That was all he was interested in, which I just think is so cute. So he just knew him by heart, but he wanted and knew he wanted to be a bass fisherman from basically the second he found out that you could have that as a career, that it was possible. So his family used to do some family fishing tournaments, but at the same time or around the same time, so as he was growing up, he also fished with some older men in their boats with a club and like team tournaments. And when he was old enough to drive, like the second he was old enough to drive, he entered into regional tournaments, which he would say they're local tournaments. But I don't know any 16-year-old that's allowed to drive, you know, 8+ hours to upstate New York or down to Maryland, unless they were fishing. So he, was very determined and he joined the regional tournament trail. So again, like he would say it's local, but I do not think it is local. So, around that time, he was borrowing his dad's van and hooking it to his 15-foot hauling ass. Oops. Around that time, he was using his dad's van to drive his 15-foot hauling bass boat that he had bought with grass cutting money, birthday money, savings. two fish tournaments out of. And through this time, his dad had actually found a pimped out station wagon for him. So they bought that and they put a trailer hitch on it. So then he was towing his bass boat with a station wagon, but still going all over fishing tournaments, local, which to me would be like around Pittsburgh in the clubs, and regional stuff through the Federation. So he basically ran the little station wagon into the ground and started borrowing his dad's van again. He actually upgraded a little bit and was able to buy a 1987 Ranger that he bought with some tournament winnings and graduation money. So at this point, he was still doing regional stuff and had graduated. So through all of this, he actually started working for a very awesome man, because I don't know of any employer that would allow what he did, but it was for a copier company. So throughout high school, he worked for this copier company, and then after high school, he worked for them full time. But this awesome man let him leave when he needed to fish tournaments, because he knew about Matt's passion for the sport. So huge, amazing opportunity that he had with that man. So started getting really into it after graduating, because the company he was working for allowed him to pursue it a little bit harder, so he could take more time off to get a little bit more into it. So with some money that he saved up after running the station wagon into the ground and using his dad's van, he was able to buy a Suburban and trade it up to a pro craft bass boat. So continued doing tournaments all over the region and flipping winnings back into fishing. In 2015, he was able to buy a truck and a skeeter, which the skeeter is kind of what started the whole change of his life, because in 2017, he competed with that skeeter and that truck in his first Toyota Series event. So the Toyota Series, you have three events, and the leaders in the Toyota Series points at the end of those three events get a bid or qualify up to the professional tournament trails. So that's what he was going for. And in his second Toyota Series event, he won. So he won at Thousand Islands, which was huge for him. And basically, he was competing for the tournament entry fees. So it was very exciting that he won that, because it qualified him for the pro tour, but it also gave him the money to pay the entry fees for that tour. So in 2018, that was his first year fishing professionally, and he won Rookie of the Year that year, which is super exciting because it's determined by points that you accumulate after fishing all of the events. So he was highest rookie in the points and obviously received that award. So it was super, super exciting. And then at the end of 2020, I came in the picture, so more on that in a second. In 2021, he had his first national win on the professional tour at Lake Murray, South Carolina, which is super exciting. I got to be there. A ton of his family got to be there. It was just such a fun day. And in 2022, he qualified for the Bass Pro Tour and was fifth highest in points. So very, very good year. Super exciting. Our whole goal that year was to qualify for the Bass Pro Tour. And then in 2023, his first year on the Bass Pro Tour, so last year, he accumulated the most points out of all of the anglers, and not only making him Rookie of the Year, even though they don't have that as an award, but Angler of the Year. So out of all of the anglers, he was given that award because of his accumulation in points. So super, super, super excited. With that, he won an event last year, the last event of the year, which ultimately is the reason why he became Angler of the Year, because of those points. So it was a huge year for us, super exciting, just an amazing, amazing year. So Now, how I got into fishing, like I said, in 2020 is when I came into the picture. So my whole life has been surrounded by water. Being in and around the water is definitely where I feel most happy, but I never knew anything about the bass fishing world or tournament fishing, I guess I could say. I did watch a little Bill Dance with my peepaw, but I had no idea its connection to anything. So it was very interesting when I got into the world because it's totally different than anything I would have imagined. So I'm from Virginia, but I've always been a traveler by nature. My whole life, I always said, I want to go everywhere. I want to meet everyone. And in my 20s, I traveled a lot. I mean, I've traveled a lot my whole life, but in my 20s, I lived at the beach. I've lived in the mountains. I lived in the city and a few places in between in the suburbs. I started my job as a district sales manager with an amazing insurance company. And I moved up to Erie, Pennsylvania, which is like the top little tiny notch of the big square that is Pennsylvania. So I was up there for 7 months, and then I was assigned to my territory, which happened to be in Pittsburgh. So I lived in the city for 3 years. I had the best boss, the best district in the entire company, and I still to this day will stand that down. I called them the District of Champions because they truly were, and I know still are. But I love sales, I love that competition, and I love marketing. I was so obsessed with branding us within that company as the DOC. I really, really enjoyed like every second of working with them in that. So over the 3 years of living in the city, I decided to move out of the city. So I bought a house that wasn't too far outside of the city, which was super exciting because little did I know, it was about 12 minutes from where Mr. Matthew was living. So while I was like in the dating scene, because I was trying to find someone, there was no one that just had like that hunger for life that I really wanted. Because again, I wanted to go everywhere. I wanted to meet everyone. I just had this big life picture and I just didn't meet anyone that had that same hunger. So I took to Bumble because what do you do? So I've been praying for a long time for my person. I just wanted someone passionate. I wanted someone with that big life view that was honest and fun, and just excited for life. And I just kept praying like, I need a big fat sign of who I'm supposed to be with. And I'm just so tired, you know, of all of these other people, like who in the world am I supposed to be with? Right? Like, come on, God, just show me the way. Well, one weekend, I was traveling from Erie, so where I went for training, I was visiting some friends through Pittsburgh to Virginia and then North Carolina to visit some friends and family, and a potential match popped up on my Bumble. Lo and behold, it was a totally cute guy, of course, holding some fish, and it said his job was professional bass fisherman. So, of course, I Instagram stalked him because I was like, what in the world does that mean? And he had a bunch of followers. And contrary to all of this exposure and, you know, bringing you all into my life, I am a pretty private person. So I was like, oh, man, like, I bet he is crazy. But my last name is Bass, Brittany Bass. So what did I do? I sat on his profile for about 2 days until I could get to my girlfriend's house, and I asked her what I should do, if I should swipe on him or just swipe off of him. And she goes, Brittany, this is the only man in the world that would actually appreciate your God-given pickup line. So, taking her advice, I swiped on him and we matched, and I wrote, hi, I am Brittany Bass, and weighing in at X amount of pounds, I'm probably the largest bass you'll ever have the potential to catch. So I thought he would either think I was crazy or just be goofy enough to think it was funny. And he replied back, well, that's the trophy bass that I have been looking for. So I just died laughing. I thought that was so funny. But I think the craziest part of the whole story of how we met is that I was passing through Pittsburgh, and little did I know, he also was only passing through Pittsburgh when we matched. So he was coming from upstate New York through to another tournament, and I was coming from upstate Pennsylvania through to family. So it is crazy, you know, how things happen, because Bumble only shows you people in your actual area. So very crazy, but we started texting and calling and FaceTiming, obviously. And our first date, this man planned, like planned, which for me is huge because I am a planner through and through. But he goes, be ready at 4:30. I was working until 4:30. So be ready at 4:30 and wear something comfortable. And I'm like, what in the world does that mean, right? Like, again, planner. I'm like, I don't even know. So I had multiple outfits ready just in case he got there and told me we were doing something crazy. But he got there and didn't tell me anything. So I just had to wear what I had on, which, you know, inevitably worked. But going back. So first off, he was in a tournament in Wisconsin, and he had another tournament after Wisconsin in Ohio, right? And he says, I need to swing by Pittsburgh to pick up some tackle. And I was like, swing by Pittsburgh from Wisconsin to Ohio. It's about a 6-hour deviation driving there and then back up to Ohio. I was like, what do you need? Like, I can overnight it if you just tell me what it is. I'm just, you know, trying to help out. And he was like, oh no, there's someone I need to meet. I need to meet up with this girl. And I was like, be normal, Brittany. Be normal, Brittany. Be normal, Brittany. I was like, oh, who is she? Do I know her? And he was like, it's you. I want to take you on a date. And so that's how he like pitched us going on our first date. But I was completely floored. I had never had anyone take that kind of time away from their usual plans. That was super exciting. And I really didn't know how to take it, to be quite honest. But he said, be ready at 4:30, wear something comfortable. So I was freaking out. Little side note, I am a hiker. I love hiking. I've hiked most of the peaks in Virginia, down through North Carolina. And this man planned a date that encompassed things that I liked, which again, like melt, swoon, when is the other foot gonna drop? Because I was like floored. So he said, we're going on an adventure. He came over, picked me up, and just started driving. Didn't tell me where we were going, again. But I was like, road trip, super exciting, super fun. So he drove us to West Virginia to a Pies and Pints place. It's like gourmet pizza and local beer, like right up my alley, super, super excited. And then we got back in the car and kept driving a little bit longer. And we ended at a trailhead. And I was like, what in the world is going on? He had timed it perfectly that by the time we finished the trail, it was a short hike. But it ended at the end of this peak. So you were on a cliff face overlooking where the sun went down. And he had it planned perfectly to where when we got there, when we hiked there, the sun was gonna be setting, and he had packed drinks so we could have a drink while the sun was going down. And I was like absolutely swooning. I was so excited. I had never been like fully considered like that in a very long time, if ever. Like very, very excited. So it truly was like, I was thinking, who is this guy? Like, what is wrong with him? Why isn't he dating someone right now? Because clearly, like, he's very, very thoughtful, and he just blew me away. So obviously, I tell my whole family about him, call them up. They're so excited. They're so excited about the first date, but just him in general. And then I call my best friend, and I'm like, hey, this was amazing. This is what we did. And she goes, Britt, I am so happy for you, but next time a random man takes you outside of the state to the side of a mountain, drop a pin in case you die. And I was like, oh my God, Brittany, what is wrong with you? You definitely didn't tell anyone where you're going and you could have just been murdered. But that's how it all started. He had three more days in town before he had to leave for that tournament in Ohio. And we made the most of each moment and just had so much fun. And I found out very quickly that he didn't play by life's normal plan, that he was kind of like me and just wanted some really big things and thought just a little bit differently about everything. So while I don't think everyone in life wants the same things as we do, I think whatever your personal goal in life is, there is someone who can complement it so perfectly, and I absolutely love that. So whether it's, you know, to have a quiet life and have some chickens maybe, or build a home full of kids, or to build a home that your elderly parents can move into, to live an RV life with some fur babies, to build amazing careers and businesses, or to live, you know, on a boat at sea, whatever it is, I think that there's someone somewhere who wants something similarly, and I just love that, because like there's no possible way that that can't happen for everyone. I definitely love connections like that, and I truly can't believe that ours happened to be through Bumble, but you know, whatever it takes. So that is how we met, and it's a crazy, wonderful story, and it has been crazy, wonderful since then. So now let's get into why we are here and what I call the O. O is for objectives. So this year is our second season on the Bass Pro Tour, and it's actually my fourth season with him as a professional. And I have met some of the most amazing women while traveling with him. And in the last 4 years, I haven't seen anywhere or anyone that introduces them or anywhere you guys get to meet them. So Random Kitchens started because of that. I travel full-time with Matt, so we stay in Airbnbs all over. I just recently looked and we actually had 41 stays in the last 3 years, which is a lot of random kitchens. So while we are in a random kitchen of a random house the majority of our life, we do make it a home. So I thought it would be fun to bring some of these amazing women that I have met into my random kitchens as we travel through the years so that you all can meet them, get excited about their families and their accomplishments just like I do from the second that I get to meet them. So regardless of travel status, each one of these women shares their life with bass. This sport is a 24/7 sport, whether you are at a tournament, at home, from the tournament, or in between. It is at the forefront, meaning bass and the bass fishing world and life and tournaments are at the forefront of most of our decisions and thoughts throughout the year. So I wanted to start this podcast to show you that side, the behind the scenes, the what goes into being a professional bass fishing family, because it really is a lot and every family does it a little bit different, which I love. If they have to stay at home, they have their fun things that they send them with on the road, or their fun things that they do while at home with their kids or their families to show support. These bass tournaments are all over the country. So for the Bass Pro Tour specifically with Major League Fishing, we start out with a base of 7 tournaments. If you qualify for the championship and heavy hitters, that's an extra 2 tournaments. And then we also have the team series tournaments that could add up to an additional 2 tournaments. So that's 11 without fishing any other series that we start out with or hope to start out with for the year. Typically, we add in a couple more, at least 4. Matt generally likes at least 15 tournaments a year. And each tournament is 5 to 10 days of tournament time or travel time. So that is roughly 150 tournament days a year, not including any pre-fishing days. So there are no holidays, no sick time, no paternal leave, and no bereavement periods. So while this is a very singular sport, meaning the angler is who is fishing, the women and families behind these anglers really make it possible. Whether that is a mother handling all the behind the scenes needs, a girlfriend being truly understanding of all of the time away, or a wife who holds down the fort and all of the children's activities while the dad is away for weeks. It is truly a family effort, and so I'm very, very excited to share who the people are and the families are that make this sport possible from the back end. So I'm gonna take a quick break, and when I come back, I'll get into the V and the E of love, but I did just want to let you guys know why I wanted to do this, because I think it's very important that we have this part and this side of things as well. Okay, I am back. So let's start off with the V. V is for vacations. So I would say, generally speaking, most people in life think that our life is a vacation because he is bass fishing for a living, which is truly a dream for most people or some people. And while we do have a ton of fun, our life and the tournament weeks are anything but vacations. So if you watch my last two episodes, you know I always ask if they're involved in the bass business or what they do that is random that they feel is helpful with their angler's success. Because like I said, it's a family business. So most help with some sort of something throughout the week, whether that's away or while they're there, because it's just a lot to manage. But for you guys, for me, or to know where I stand in all of it, I left a job where I was working to help 40 locations become bigger, better, stronger. It was a very high-paced and exciting life and job. And in 2021, I started taking over some of the off-the-water business obligations that Matt had as well. By the end of that year, I was absolutely all in on helping him build his brand, getting his content focused, filming, editing his YouTube videos, started and grew his TikTok platform, and I also design all of the graphics, anything paper related that he needs, mainly because I love that side and loved that side of my job. So he was just basically an extra agent, but little did I know, it would basically be like having two full-time jobs. So in October 2022, Matt and I moved to Tennessee, officially getting a little bit closer to our circle of where we need to go. And in January of 2023, I started working just for him full-time. So I left my crazy job, crazy fabulous job with the insurance company, and now just work for him full-time. So I am in deep with the bass business, to say the least. It's really crazy like how my skill set kind of perfectly melted into what I needed to do for him. And it took all of my favorite parts of that job and just amplified them, because it really is more of a marketing centered role, which is fabulous. So personally, on the other side of things, when we travel, I also love to cook for the guys. So whoever is in our house gets breakfast, lunch, and dinner if they want it. I was talking to Matt the other day about this, about how much I love having a house full of people, because I never have really wanted children, but my whole life I always said I wanted a house full of people. So you're probably like, Brittany, how on earth did you think you would make that happen without kids? And truly, I had no idea, but God provides. He gave me a house full of bass fishermen, which I literally love. I can't believe how life has turned out and how I've gotten here, but it is so wonderful and on so many levels. But I really, really do love our fishing family, and I love cooking for our house. So all of this to say, each week we are all getting up at least an hour before the sun, sometimes earlier depending how far the ramp is or where they need to go for practice. And we don't stop until the sun goes down, and even after that, because that's when the research and the editing and all of those things can get done, is when we're off the water or they're off the water. So it is definitely a work week, not a mini vacation, which is kind of hard to take in for some people, because I think some people think, oh, you're leaving on another vacation, which would be dandy, but it really isn't like that at all. It's definitely a work week. We are fully focused on bass from the second we leave that driveway, which I think is fabulous. And I love that I am just as obsessed with it as he is, because I think that it makes us better and stronger. But like I said, my days are filled with food and content and editing. And generally, on one of the practice days, I like and am able to get together with some of the wives. Normally, we go to lunch or get our nails done or go to breakfast or do something fun like that. But that is because the practice days are very long, because they stay out all day long. So it's a little bit easier for me to kind of schedule in some things. But other than that, like, I am full blown normally editing all day, because the video footage to go through it takes a lot of time. And if it's a tournament day, I am watching live. So it's very fast moving and hard for us to do a lot outside of fishing those weeks, because everything really is focused around that. And thank goodness, we do share a house with four other people, it's three. So it's four guys total. And some of them, their wives and girlfriends come down. So that's super exciting. Spencer's wife is generally there at all tournaments with me, and she has a very similar mindset to me on, how tournament weeks go. So normally we're both watching live, just going crazy, which is so fabulous. And she has her little things that she likes to do, and I have my little things that I like to do. So as far as routines, we have a lot of things that we like to do, because there's a lot of different people and styles. But every night after dinner, I make peanut butter and chocolate chip cookies. They're Matt's favorite. And generally, I send him with 5 cookies the next day, because when he was fishing 5 biggest fish tournament, 5 cookies were for his 5 fish. So that started years ago, and it has continued into now he is every fish counts. So I'm just saying each of those cookies is good for 10 fish, 10 or 20, depending on the lake, right? But I still send him with at least 5 cookies for lunch the next day. We also always have mint chocolate chip ice cream. This started way before me, but Matt told me it always has to be the green kind, because green means money, which I love. So we always have a bowl or two of that during tournament weeks. And we also play into whatever anybody in our house needs. So like, we have added cookie dough ice cream before, because dough is dough, like money. So get in the money line. Or if they're having a bad tournament and your sandwich is sitting on one side of the table, we move it to the other side of the table to mix up the juju. We also do random things like sing Pocket Full of Sunshine if someone is feeling the blues, because in our house, we like confidence for everyone. So we try to do what we can and make it as fun as possible, because it is a very, very stressful situation, but super fun. So it is not a vacation, even though we are going everywhere and exploring. We definitely take advantage when we can, but it is first and foremost truly a work week for everyone in the house, because that is how we all make our money and support our families. So first and foremost, work week. Lastly, we have E, and E is for explanations. So I don't have too many explanations, but I just wanted to quickly explain my plan for the year. So tomorrow we are actually leaving for stage 2, which is at Sandy Cooper Lakes in South Carolina. And I have three new ladies that I plan to interview. One is in her first year on the Bass Pro Tour, which is super exciting. One has a son and a husband on the Bass Pro Tour, and another son trying to follow in their footsteps. And then one has a husband currently on tour and a son trying to also follow in those footsteps. So I think those will be great. I'm very excited for you guys to meet all of them. They all have very different stories on how they got here, what they think of this life, and how they manage all the craziness, especially the last two, because they've been in it for a long time. They've been through a lot of changes, a lot of craziness. So I think it'll be very, very exciting to meet them. And that's kind of my plan moving forward. Each tournament, I'm going to interview a couple of ladies. I basically have a list right now that I'm going through. So it will be super fun. hopefully still it'll be one episode a week. So every Thursday, check back here. I also wanted to explain that while we fish for Major League Fishing, there is also another league through Bassmaster called the Elites, and they have wives, girlfriends, fiancés, and mothers that also help them. So it's very similar in the fact that we are all a bass fishing community. Professional bass fishing is a very small world. So I'm super pumped to also introduce you to some of those wives. So while we don't fish against each other, we are still targeting bass with our entire being. And they are still supportive of those athletes. So I think that that would be great to kind of bring some of them on, and they might have some different experiences, same experiences most likely. And I'm excited to introduce you guys to them too. So, I love this world. Like I said, it's a very small community, and I would venture to say some of the best humans as athletes that I've ever seen. We pray before every tournament. We sing the national anthem loudly and proudly before every tournament. And each day they go out, they're surrounded by God's creation. So while it takes a huge time commitment, I believe it also creates closer family bonds due to the travel and support that is needed to live this life. So I truly think we have some fabulous humans a part of this life, and I can't wait to introduce you to them. So I also wanted to explain that the whole platform of Random Kitchens is designed to build up all these women and all of these families because these anglers that are behind these anglers, because it truly is a crazy way of life. And I really hope that this not only helps you meet us, but also for the wives and girlfriends to meet each other. Because whether you're growing in this sport, whether you've been in the sport forever, I hope it opens up our community and allows further support of each other, because it is a crazy life, and to do it alone is just not an option. So I feel like that. I know tons of other wives and girlfriends that feel like that. So I wanted Random Kitchens to start so that we have a place in a community to go, as well as others. So if they have things that we can do while we're in town, or things that are helpful, or any of that, it's just a central place that we can go and meet and greet each other along the way. So I'm gonna wrap up with my quick hits that I normally ask the other ladies. So what is my biggest bass and where did you catch it? My biggest bass is like 7.5. It's a largemouth, and I actually caught it at Matt's nemesis lake, Lake Chickamauga, which now we're living on. But it was so funny because I'm very proud of it, because it was my decision where I casted. And he was like, no, there's not going to be one, like, too shallow. And lo and behold, this big old mama with like 15 boyfriends was back behind this area. And it took me a while to catch her, and Matt had to help reposition the boat a couple times, but I caught her. She was huge. She like took up half my body, and I'm super pumped about it. My go-to show or movie. So my favorite movie of all time is 10 Things I Hate About You. It is fabulous. It's kind of like a rendition of Taming of the Shrew, if you're, you know, into like Shakespearean stuff. But I love it. I can watch that movie over and over and over again. And then Can I Back a Boat? Absolutely. Matt threw me to the fire when we were at Okeechobee in 2021, and he basically was like, here's my keys, can you just go bring around the truck? I'll back it in, wing wing, when you get there. No. I got there, there was a line, so I was like, oh, I'll just try to back this thing in. I call my dad, I'm like, Dad, I need a 15-second rendition of how you back a boat. First thing he says, put your hand at the bottom of the wheel. I was like, nope, not gonna work for me. I don't understand that. He was like, right means left, left means right. Nope, don't understand that. So I figured it out. I went down like this huge ramp, or what I thought was huge at the time. Now it's probably really little, but I got it in the water. And that entire year, I tried really, really hard to teach myself how to back it. under pressure, in, you know, crazy weather, all of the things, because I really didn't want to be the boat part. I didn't want to back the boat because those things don't have tires and they go everywhere. And it was just really more of a less stressful side of it was the backing of the boat. And if y'all played Uno together with a group and you had to draw a four card, would you play it on Matt or would you wait until you got a reverse and play it on someone else? So everyone answers that they would play it on their person. And I, every time I'm like, because if we played in a group, I would 100% protect him and play it on someone else before I played it on him. So I don't know what that makes me, but generally speaking, I'm like a protective human. So I would go after the others before I went after him. And I always ask our guest, what is a question that they have for our next guest without knowing who it is? And Miranda asked, what is something you and your fisherman do together outside of tournaments that keeps you bonded during the tournament season? And I'm going to ask this of our next guest because I want her to to be able to ask it of our next guest officially, but I'll answer it too. So our quality time really comes from driving. It's pretty limited during tournament weeks because, like I said, we really are focused on fishing, and we share a house with three other people or three other fishing families. So if we go out or do anything, we are always inclusive. Everyone comes if they want. So we don't really have like date nights. That being said, driving is really our quality time in between tournaments. And then I would say I really enjoy, and I think he does too, like while he's rigging, I'll take my book out and go sit in the boat. And so we kind of have like that time because normally the boats aren't stacked right next to each other. So we can talk to everyone, but it's really more of like us just chilling out together. And I really enjoy that. I love being outside anyways. And then I love reading. So I think that would be, you know, kind of our quality time. But otherwise, we typically plan our like date nights or our, you know, quality time like hiking and stuff when we're at home. Just to get his mind off of fishing or get both of our minds off of fishing. So that is our show this week. Thank you so much for being here. If you want to follow Matt's journey, he is on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok under M Becker Fishing and YouTube at Matt Becker Fishing. If you want to follow me, I am BBass_, so BEA, like Brittany Elizabeth Ann, _ on Instagram. And I also have a travel page called The Bass and the Bee on Instagram, and then Random Kitchens on YouTube and Instagram. So again, I love the women behind professional bass fishing. I think that they do a ton in order to make this whole career work. And I really can't wait to share more of their stories and their perspectives and introduce them to you guys. So if you have any questions you think I should ask or get a little bit further into or guests that you want to see, drop them in the comments below. I do plan to release one episode a week through the whole tournament season. And hopefully some will go into the after season or off season as well throughout 2024, and we'll see how it goes, but I plan to do it for the foreseeable future because lives change, things change, and I love that you guys get to meet them. So make sure to subscribe to follow along, and I'll see you next week. Bye. Happy Valentine's Day.